Alt-NPR.
Welcome to What Would Rob Do? The podcast that explores life's most trying dilemmas. I'm Mike Schuster.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
All right, here's the deal, Rob, for today. This is a really hard problem, and I'm doubting you have any real solutions. You're in the middle seat on a jetliner. It's already pretty miserable. What can you do to better your situation?
Well, that's right. You're stuck in the middle, and it stinks. And the first thing you obviously want to do, you've probably tried to get out of this seat. And that's a tough thing to do because airline people, the stewards or the attendants, wherever they are now.
The flight attendants. They call them the flight attendants.
Right, the flight attendants. They've heard everything. But I talked to a guy. He's a travel writer for USA Today. His name is David Grossman. He says, go on standby and try that route.
If you can ask to be on the list so that when they release those seats where people don't show up, you get first choice. And very often those seats are some of the best seats because it's usually the people who have bought full fare tickets and who are able to upgrade who are the ones who don't show up.
So, you know, when you walk on the plane and those people in the first class are looking at you and you have that shameful look like, oh, you're sitting in a better seat than I am. Well, now you can feel a little bit better because now you're like, well, you got a better seat, but I actually got your seat because you just got bumped up.
Well, the truth is that these days airliners are filling up their planes to capacity. They're actually flying smaller planes, so they use less fuel but fill up the seats. They call it load, and there's no more room on the plane. So what do you do then?
It's tough. So sometimes you just got take it and sit in that middle seat. And now that you're in the seat, you're like, okay, I can't move. You looked around, you scoped it out. Your number one nemesis here is going to be the recliners, okay? And I talked to the guys who want to just lean right on back, right into you. Now, I talked to another guy. He wrote a blog about traveling. His name is Mike Davidson, and he's the president of Newsvine.com, an online news site. And he talked to me about this experience of dealing with the recliners.
You know, I was on a flight recently from San Francisco to Seattle, which is a very short flight. It's, you know, maybe an hour and a half or so. And, you know, the landing gear hadn't even gone up yet. And the guy in front of me just reclines the seat all the way back and keeps it back for the entire flight.
I've been in that situation, too, where someone just reclines right back into you, almost like you want to shove that seat right back into them, you know, say, forget you and you're reclining.
Well, I kind of did that. I mean, it got me mad enough to the point when I saw that he wasn't even using the seat back. So, I kicked him a couple times throughout the flight. A light kick. I probably shouldn't have done it.
You know, it's like that Twisted Sister song there, Mike. It's like, we're not going to take it. You can't take it.
Oh, I've had this experience myself, Rob, and you are tempted to let's put it this way, to take physical action.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to be advocating violence, and I think there's far more subtle ways to preserve your knee space. There's a device you can buy that's called the Knee Defender. It locks in the seat in front of you. I think that's also a little too obvious and maybe, you know, too nasty, but you can do things like cross your legs and make it so that your legs jam right up in front of that seat in front of you. Or sometimes what I do, I act like I have a really bad day, and I lean down, and I have my head resting in front of the seat in front of me.
Uh-huh.
That way, I'm kind of, it's like a, you know, my head stopping that seat, you know?
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah,
right?
The idea is to maximize that space, so when they start going back, they can't go anywhere. You're stopping them dead.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, using your head for that, and the business with crossing the legs, there are those of us that couldn't even begin to dream of crossing our legs in a coach aisle on an airliner.
I know. When you cross your legs, too, you have other things to worry about, especially, you know, if you're a guy. So there's other complications.
Oh, yeah.
But Mike, this brings about a good point, which is that some airlines offer more legroom, or seat pitch, as it's known in the industry, as travel writer David Grossman explained to me.
There are a number of seat guides on the Internet. One is called seatguru.com. One is seatexpert.com. And I always check those to see, you know, against the airplane to find out the pitches between seats.
So, you know, you do a little homework and you can give your legs a little bit more relaxation.
And then there are other body parts like elbow room.
Right. Now, here's one thing. You know, you're in the middle seat. It's not really clear who gets to use the armrest. And again, Mike Davidson, I talked to him. This is that guy who writes that blog. He told me his experience.
there is actually a polite way to handle the situation. If you kind of picture your elbows going against the back of the seat rest and you fold your arms inward, you can take up the back of the seat rest, and the person next to you can actually put their forearms on the front of the same armrest and also enjoy the armrest.
See, it's like a little dance. You know, you're working the back of the armrest. They've got the front of the armrest. The trick here, though, Mike, is you don't want to have any touching. You can't touch a stranger. That's
no touching.
Completely gross. And it's even more gross when you have the situation where you're not talking armrest touching. You're talking maybe belly touching. I'm talking about, you know, maybe the guy next to you is a customer of Big and Tall. You know, maybe they're taking up a little bit more than their fair share of the seat. And you have to watch out here. Now, I have another solution for that when the person just is oversized next to you.
All right.
What you want to do when you know you've got that middle seat, come on the flight wearing a huge, big, puffy jacket, okay? That way, you're completely filling up your area. And you've staked out, like, this whole seat is mine. Now, you have this polyester protection layer to make sure there's no flesh-on-flesh contact. And if you were getting too hot, you unzip.
Yeah, that's the first thing you think of.
Right. You unzip the jacket, but you leave it kind of spread out. That way you're kind of cocooned in to your seat.
Rob, have you actually tried this with a big puffy jacket on an airplane in the middle seat? I mean, be honest. Have you done this?
Well, Mike, you know, until recently I was, you know, living out there in L.A. with you and people just don't wear big puffy jackets
true.
When they're, you know, getting on flights in L.A. So it's kind of tough to pull off. Sometimes, though, you know, if there's still a lot of space, you can reach under and use that flotation device and kind of use that as a barrier.
Oh, yeah. You know? I've seen that a lot. We've seen that a lot on airplanes.
Yeah, it's not just a flotation device. It's a get away from that guy next to you device.
I can't wait for the next time that happens, Rob. Well, thanks for listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Mike Schuster.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
All.